This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1 2 1 2, you know what it is. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation.
Yes, y'all.
Post birthday joint.
Post.
I mean, your birthday was a couple days ago.
It was a couple days ago, but it feels like it's still continuing.
Present birthday situation. You know what Shout out to Mr. Muhammad.
Happy birthday. Living my best life.
There you go, man. Shout out to Lil Duval.
Back and forth with you niggas.
Number one record in the hip hop
R&B
charts.
Number one record, man. Mm. Like, it's like one of them situations where you just be just doing it because you're just doing it.
Yeah.
And then the shit go number one.
Right.
You know, you can't beat that, man.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Gotta embrace the momentum.
Yeah, that's like a lesson. You know what I'm saying? If you're feeling it, you got your momentum going, just do that shit.
Mm.
Put that shit out.
Go all out.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he was expecting to do what it did, but shit, it did.
Yeah. It was a good look.
His second record with Snoop.
Yeah. Killing with the Shoulders.
I like Killing with the Shoulders. Because it sampled, like, but he got similar taste in music as I do.
He no good Negro deep cuts.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like black.
Because
Killing With The Shoulders, it's that She's Strange, that cameo. That's one of my favorite joints.
I'm not a big fan, but I'm Curious, which is the joint for Smile, Bitch. That's the shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like that cameo, She's Strange. That's a hard record, man.
Yeah.
I be playing that shit in the car with the kids when they be sitting there like they don't like that shit. I put them on the Snapchat and be like, Funk Lesson. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Funk Lesson. That's parent shit.
Yeah, that's my shit. It'd be like Funk Lesson.
Protect
especially
the funk.
When they don't like that shit, I'd be like, yeah, listen to this right here. Cause that's the type of shit that I was on. You know what I'm saying? That Strange got that bass line to it. Mm. And when you got a car that got some sound, that shit be coming through.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That shit come through. So speaking I fuck with all that kind of shit.
Speaking of that, I was, I'm still in the Yaris, right?
What'd they give you?
I don't know. They won't give it to me today. It's still, we still in hemming with a lot of hemming and hawing.
What they say today?
They was like, we just got this back, and then we looking at a Tuesday, Wednesday situation. So I didn't even call them on Tuesday. I'm going to hit them on the Wednesday when, you know what I mean, and see what's what. But right. I've been out here extending the fuck out of this Yaris,
right.
my rental. And speaking of what you said, when you're in a whip that got the dun dun. That let you, that get the bottom, that got the real deal system.
Solid bottom in the end.
When you renting a Yaris, they got a governor on all of that shit.
Yeah, mid-range.
Like, yeah.
Highs and mid-range.
First of all, just speed-wise, I'm redlining this bitch at a good 57 miles an hour. Terrible.
Like you on a scooter.
I'm looking crazy on the West Side Highway.
On a Vespa.
I got so much intention in my foot, but it's not translating into any momentum.
Any type of torque.
Then I'm trying to play the new Lil Wayne Carter 5.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And there's a few records on there. I like the new Lil Wayne Carter 5. We're going to talk about it, but I like that shit.
We're here.
We're in the building, right?
What's up with it?
I like it. I fuck with Wayne in the way that... I saw somebody tweet. I forget who tweeted. Sorry, y'all. Somebody tweeted about Lil Wayne should be taught in English classes as far as onomatopoeia, alliteration, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I always say he's one of the kings of the couplet. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a certain way he has with words that is ill. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost singular in the way he manipulates words. It might not always be a full-on story, but oftentimes it is, and you know what I mean? But the nigga got a talent with using words in a certain way, in a certain manner, the way he gets the most out of them shits, and I appreciate it. And you feel like when this came out, damn, niggas don't really do this shit like he does it. It's still, he still got that little spot. However, I will say this. But as far as the album goes, and again, I'm still out here in the Yaris again with the governor on my sound system. But that record Uproar, where he sampled the
Special Delivery
record. You know, that Special Delivery got a mean little bass too with that treble, but it got a mean little underbelly of bass.
Right.
I can't really get into it as much as I want to.
You gotta put your AirPods in and push them in real tight.
Yeah. I'm sick right now. I need my whip back so I can fully.
Nah, there's a lot of songs on that joint. That Open Safe got some drop to it. It's a couple of joints. Now, I'm gonna say like this.
Wayne on treble.
I'm gonna say it like this with Wayne. Right?
Treble FM.
Like you said, with the words. The man is gifted, man. He was put here to do that shit.
That nigga nice with it.
I'm going to put it like this. You know what I'm saying? After not hearing him for a while and him come back next to everybody else, I'm going to just say it on the record. He's the last passionate rapper.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That the words is just play. That's just gymnastics for him. He ain't even. It sounds like the nigga just playing with these words and he just flipping them.
What about Cornrow Kenny now? Cornrow Kenny is still in the lineage of passionate rappers.
All right. Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll get Cornrow Kenny. Okay, he said Kung Fu.
Cornrow, whatever.
Niggas ain't Cornrow Kenny.
Cornrow Kenny. He's got that alias too.
You're right.
Okay.
But the nigga is passionate with them words, man. Fuck the beat. Fuck the hook.
Right.
Right now, I ain't even got to what song I like. You know what I'm saying? Like Danielle Walls, who she worked with them with Young Money and all them. She been on the road with them for years. She posted on the gram, on Facebook saying, you know, what's your favorite Wayne song? And I started thinking about the shit on this album. And I started thinking about the shit. And I was like, I ain't even got to songs yet.
Right.
I'm just excited to hear this motherfucker play with these words like they fucking toys. Like, he positioned them words so crazy that it tinkles your brain. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nigga got brain teasing words.
No, it's true.
Like, you can feel your brain moving trying to listen to this nigga.
You're like, nigga, it explores. Like, oh, wow, you could do that. That's interesting. That does mean that. And then you flip that.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's a lot of potential. A lot of opens it up.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? You got that. And then you start to hear, yeah, man, but he was really the cat that kind of started this little movement of how cats rap now. You know what I'm saying?
What movement? What you mean?
It's like it went like before Wayne, before the Squad Up tapes.
Right.
Rap was very linear.
Mm.
Very, you got a verse, it's about something.
Right.
You got 16 bars.
Okay.
And you're going to rap about that subject for 16 bars and then give it the hook. You know what I'm saying? Then some cats might have gave you 8. Some cats like Biggie might have gave you the 16 bars, but then did a lot of, you know, acrobatics with the words within those bars and did his thing. But essentially, the subject matter stayed the same over those 16 bars. Mm-hmm. What Wayne started to do was he made the shit nonlinear where he could rap about something in one line and then the next line be about something totally different.
Yeah.
And the next one after that, something else.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, he made the shit nonlinear in a way that you was not confined to one subject in your bar, in your 16 bars.
Right.
And from there, cats started rapping different. So, like, I think, you know what I'm saying, my cutoff in my mind, and I might not be right, but this is just my own cutoff. It's like, you got Jeezy, then Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then like you listen to Jeezy rap now, he still rap linearly. But he was like the last one of that little bunch that rap like that. And you can see why he not really connecting right now. And then you got Lil Wayne and everybody after that.
Mm.
And then everybody else, like everybody how they rap now is just, you know, any line could be about anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter about if your verse is about
it's
one
all
subject.
Over the place.
Yes, all over. But when you hear Wayne come back, you like you hear the best of the nigga that's done that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you hear the art of how he does it, and you could feel it a little differently than a lot of other cats. So I enjoy that about Wayne. And I enjoy that the nigga was able to survive the drought and come back and still have a product that can be in the conversation. Because a lot of motherfuckers don't survive that shit when your label starving you out. You know what I'm saying? Niggas ain't paying you. All this work you done put in, you got Drake and Nicki at the top of the motherfucking charts.
It was
and you
dark.
Ain't getting no paper from it.
It was looking
and
really...
And motherfucker like, I ain't gonna pay you either until I'm good and ready until you sue me. And then you out there, you can't even make a record because they can't. Bleak. They not gonna put it out. So now how you getting new money? Like, how you stay fresh and on the road, you can't put out a new record? You know what I'm saying? Most cats don't make it through that, man.
They spirit be fucked up.
Your spirit be fucked up, and you can't really jump back into your creativity. You don't last long enough to even make it through the situation.
Right.
You just say, fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he got through it, and I think that was, everybody was, if you were a Wayne fan, you were happy for that. You were happy because that type of shit is almost like going to jail.
Right.
You know,
and he went to jail.
Yeah. And he did that. But he got to do a little bit
right,
after.
Right.
But it's like that should have dulled your shine. You'd be fucked up out the game, disconnected. You know what I mean? Lose your motivation.
Yeah.
But he came back doing his Wayne shit. And I feel like this is that album where it's like, that's that transition out. Let me get this off.
Right.
Because I've been trying to get this shit out for a while.
Right.
Now let me get in the moment.
Right.
So I'm curious to see what's next.
Right.
Because
right.
if he out here and he active, yeah, and this nigga still, his jump shot is still clicking.
Yeah, his word play, man, ain't went nowhere.
Nah.
Man. So that could keep him in the game. And, you know, again, he went through hard times. Nigga hair done fell out. Like, most cats would have been done got drugged by now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but... that's just the testament of who he was as an artist and how people felt about him and his artistry. You know what I'm saying? Is a testament to why he's able to still be here.
He's an OG.
He's an OG.
He's an elder.
He's an elder and a youngin' at the same time. He's not even that
elder.
Old.
Young elder would be an ill alias.
He not
should come
even,
out as young elder.
Not even that damn old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, but you to these young niggas, he's like, he's the OG. A lot of these cats based a whole lot of what they do on him. And not even the young motherfuckers, like, but like the established young. You know, the Drakes, the Nickies, the Meek Mills and all these cats, like they really point to him as, yo, that's one of my OGs. I fucking followed his path. And maybe like a few years younger than him. Cause he's been doing this shit since he was
12 years old.
Yeah, but shit. Shout out to that man.
So yeah, I was happy to hear that shit, man. Yeah, I'm fucking with quite a few of those records, but even when I listen back, I start to hear shit, be like, damn, what the? Even if I don't like the beat or the song itself, I'll be like, damn, that nigga, what did he say? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And my favorite line out this whole shit ain't even one of the most illest lines, but it's just knowing what he went through and knowing where he at, it's just like, it sums it all up.
Uh-huh.
The line where he say, I turned a goddamn into a God's plan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a goddamn, like how my life get here?
Perspective.
Into a God's plan.
Yeah.
Like this is what it is. I'm here. I'm still here. And I'm shining.
Yeah.
Because God want me here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I done been in a goddamn moment.
Everybody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So you know how that shit feel like. God damn.
It's fucked up.
You know what I'm saying?
What am I do now?
To a God's plan.
That's man. That's the other side of the spectrum.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the best.
And that's just like a subtle ass line. That wasn't even one of the most ill ones. It's just subtle as fuck, but it's to me, it was just real as fuck.
Yeah, now you know? Got some slick shit. This motherfucker good. I can't think of nothing. I can't quote nothing right this second. Because I was out in Bridgeport speaking to them people. Shout out to the people that came out to the Bridgeport Stress Factory. We had a good time. Shout out to my man. I think my man's last name is Turner. I could be wrong, but shout out to my man Sam on the hosting position. Vinny Brand, shout out to you. Shout out to my man Mike Burton. Shout out to Chris Clark. Yeah, we had a good time out in Bridgeport. Stress Factor is a good time. But you know, yeah, I was in show mode, so I was definitely I still feel like I only heard the Lil Wayne through the little Bluetooth speaker in the Yaris. So I haven't heard it on the full on. But yeah. Shout out to that man coming back. That's good to see. My man Dom Kennedy just dropped a new joint today. I haven't gotten to it, but I seen he had a interview with on the No Jumper podcast. I fuck with Dom Kennedy. He's
that was one of your OG back in the day.
Yeah, man. I remember he's an unsung.
You put me on to that nigga back in the day.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Dom Kennedy. I think he's an unsung LA legend. I don't think he's even unsung. I think he's an LA legend, you know. I don't know if he gets all of his flowers, but I just like the movement. I like how, he was very independent with the OPM movement, man. So he got a new joint out. Hopefully it's good. I fuck with the cat, so I'm listening to it. I'm going to check it out. But what else happened this weekend? What did I do? I was in Bridgeport. Had a good time out there. I came back. I seen a little bit of the Kanye on SNL. I was kind of waiting to hear the Yandy album after the Lil Wayne album. That was my plan from when I drive back to Bridgeport. I'm going to listen to the Yandy because I didn't cancel Kanye like many have.
Retrofit the Yandy, whatever. What's the shit called? Yandy.
Jesus to the Yandy.
He had to retrofit it to what's happening.
You mean?
I mean, he probably had to go change some shit up.
He definitely backpedaled. He says shit ain't coming back to November 23rd.
Damn.
He got scared.
He got to get back in the studio. Lil Wayne came out. He was like, let me go put my shit back together.
Maybe even Lil Wayne shit. I think he just, because he jumped out the window incorrectly on SNL, look like. Nigga done redesigned the MAGA hat. I don't know if you've seen this.
No, he redesigned it. What that mean?
He redesigned it. He changed the bill. He did, like, there's a video of him talking about, I redesigned the MAGA hat. I gave it a new energy. I switched the bill. I shortened the thing. Blase skip. But my thing is, my nigga, that shit still
say the same shit and still mean the same shit.
That's a rally cry for a whole nother wave. And you trying really hard. Like, this is the thing.
I don't fuck with that motherfucker.
I know you don't fuck with him, and I might be one of the lone people.
And I know plenty of people fuck with him, and I ain't saying this to try to sway anyone's perspective on who they fuck with or not, because I don't really care like that. But for me, I could lose one cat off my timeline and playlist, and he's one and I lost him.
I could dig it. I hear what you're saying. My thing is, I hear you, and I'm not one of these people like trying to. I've definitely retired from being a Kanye apologist. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my man Rob Hayes and the Book of Ye. now my man Rob Hayes, a funny comedian, but he has a podcast where he's a Kanye like fan. I don't want to say stan because I feel like that shit is derogatory, but he's a full on fan. But even he had to step back. Shout out to that man. But anyway, I say this: I feel like Kanye fans have become apologists about maybe 2-3 years ago, right? And at this point, it's like, it's ridiculous now. It's like, come on, dude. My thing is, as far as Kanye go, I'm more concerned about the cat because I can't front like his music didn't impact my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely... It was a wave,
right.
And it was a significant one, and it is almost sad to see somebody that was so clear in their point of view and sensibility become kind of muddy in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know if it's a thing of, because the thing is, I won't discount the fact that the kid is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Kanye's super brilliant, so I can't say he's an idiot, even though I don't agree with some of the shit that he's doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes I'm like, well, I don't know. Is he trying to manipulate what's provocative for clicks or for attention? Because now the stream game is about attention span and it's about people paying attention. If is he on some diabolical shit, or does he really feel nah, I'm with this. I like this nigga's energy. I see him quoting GLC when he say some wild shit. Like, well, my nigga GLC once said, and I be feeling bad for GLC because I'm like, nigga, keep GLC name out your mouth because that nigga ain't did it. GLC is one of his homies. He's he was on Drive Slow. He's a rapper as well, okay, from Kanye. All right,
continue.
But I guess that might be one of his woke friends in the fold. Mm-hmm. You know how you got your one friend that be spitting that knowledge.
Right, right, right.
And you want to recap the knowledge, but you might just have the essence and maybe not all of the points.
Right.
And maybe you fuck it up. It's a game of telephone. You like, well, my nigga GLC once said, and we need to abolish the 13th and da 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 da. And it's right. Like, niggas is like, nah, nigga, you wildin'. You right. Don't read. You don't know what the fuck you talking about.
Right.
And rather than saying, you're right. I need to read. I need to be a little bit more informed with the shit that I'm putting out into the world because my platform is super big.
Mm-hmm.
He be saying shit like, nah, you know, true indeed. I don't read. I just live off of the spirit. I live off the energy. And that's where you super irresponsible and I'm kind of looking at you sideways.
Right, right, right.
So that's where we at with it.
I mean, I guess. I'm glad that he didn't come about in my old formative years, and he had an impact my.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad I'm not like a young kid because it fucked me up.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad he, you know, he. By the time Ye came about and was doing this thing, I was grown as shit.
Right.
With kids and wasn't even too much paying attention to it. It was there in the cipher, but it wasn't like, you know, I was formulating my. I was still in the club dressing up and, you know what I'm saying? And that Ye come on.
Right.
I wasn't there, so, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I wasn't even the fan that he even needed to retain, but I mean, this nigga be doing some wild shit. As a rapper, as a black man, as a, you know, somebody that is living in the times that we're living in, he represents some wild shit at times.
Yeah.
But again, he's been a rich nigga for a long time, so he might not be as closest to us as we think.
Well, look, we were talking about that on the way over here. It's the rich nigga delusion. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could happen to anybody, because the thing is, systematically, the world is not really set up for the people, for niggas to really all the way shine and live. Hope, you know, on a certain level, it's set up, it's fucked up, you know what I mean? Systematically, the odds are against the melanated.
Uh-huh.
Right? So okay. when you shake out and you get up in the end zone of glory, of wealth, and of prestige, and of success, and you make it, there's often cats that'll be like, well, nigga, if you just juke a little harder, you run a little faster, you just stiff arm this motherfucker on the 20-yard line, you can make it too. If you just pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you know what I'm saying? And while that might feel super valid to that person because they are in the winner's circle, and they it wasn't just, maybe it wasn't given to them. Maybe they did work hard.
They did.
It might not be across the board as equivalent to everyone. So then lies the disconnect, the delusion of, dog, if you just get up off your feet, you could be just like me. And then that becomes the whole thing of, well, I'm over here with the winners. You know what I mean? Now you kind of, you got a different sensibility.
Right, and I grew up under that. I grew up under that testament.
Of the get like me?
No, the pull yourself up, depend on community. I grew up with.
That's the American way.
I grew up with the black Muslims. That's what it was all about. Create your own community. Create, you know what I'm saying? Eat to live. You know what I'm saying? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's work together. Let's buy up the hood. All that. That was the whole theme of what was going on in the masjid, right? But in those particular cases, those are people who are right there with the people, walking with the people. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? All right, you come here, we're going to do this right here, and then we're going to take it from here, then we're going to take it out there in the streets, and then we're going to go from there. But to sit in Calabasas and say, you know what I'm saying, what everybody should do is a little disconnected off
super
just in premise. You know what I'm saying? And then in action, to align with, you know, a super rich motherfucker who really don't give a fuck about what nobody think, which probably aligns with more with Kanye's values than the regular average person.
You're talking about like Trump.
Yeah, like Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump probably really does align more with Kanye's value than the average nigga, because he's looking at, he could look at Trump and see that he's made it. And if you buy into the rhetoric, he's a self-made billionaire per se. You know what I'm saying? But then in real life, he really had a rich dad. That really,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, Trump has always been one of them people that people in the culture and hip hop looked at as, okay, he one of them ones. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That did it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He got it. But that was before niggas knew he was, you know what I'm saying, on what he was on at this point. So in theory and in ideals, he might align with people who have quote unquote bootstrapped it and done it themselves and da 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 da. But if you're not with the people that you're trying to talk to now, mm-hmm. and you're sitting above and you're just saying these things down, and you're not getting on the ground and getting with the people instead of just selling them shoes.
Or at least providing them a way to get up.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of selling them shit and selling them fucking rhetoric. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting down in there and actually taking steps and making moves and shit. Because he could have made moves, but he ain't making them. He talking. You know what I'm saying? He's selling us shit daily. He's selling us shoes and Adidas and all that shit and whatever songs or whatever. But is he really getting down on the shit that he even talking about?
I don't know. He say he trying to. He say he's supposedly, this next move with Adidas is supposed to save Chicago. Or I don't know. I don't make it that big.
Adidas going to save Chicago.
Well, he's saying that he's trying. He's been, these conversations he's been having and these deals that he's been making are on track to, you know, help the people.
Right.
We're going to see. My thing is, you know, I'm side-eyeing this motherfucker from the side. I don't want to fully say, get the fuck out of here. My thing is, I don't like canceling. I don't like the cancel culture.
Okay.
I don't like the cancel culture because I feel like we don't have enough motherfuckers in the army to just be throwing niggas away. We not like lousy with motherfucking lieutenants. Mm-hmm. We need a lot. We need these geniuses. We need people that are talented. We need people with big platforms if we're trying to make it happen. I feel like there's a moment of, we need some reckoning talk. We need to see if we could at least level with a motherfucker before we full on cancel. I feel like the knee-jerk cancel is a little impulsive.
But I think over...
I don't think it's working. Because I think niggas can't all the way hold to the cancel.
I mean, I don't think the cancel has been...
It don't work.
It's not a unanimous cancel.
I forgot who said that, but somebody was like, cancel culture is bullshit.
Right. It ain't a cancel. It's a personal... For me, it's personal. It's not... I'm not even putting myself in the cultural conversation.
In that whole thing.
You know what I'm saying? My thing is personal. Like, for me, canceling Kanye, that's not even a term that I would use. But for me, not really aligning with Kanye has dated back. For years, before even Trump. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I felt like the Taylor Swift thing, that whole night was a sham. I felt like George Bush don't give a fuck about black people was kind of like, you know,
did that was manipulated,
predetermined and orchestrated myself. This is just my own little personal opinions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think Kanye Muhammad is the type of artist that is really planning out these things as opposed to really living in just the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What is perceived to be in the moment is, I think, Kanye in the lab. You know what I'm saying? Putting this together and saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And da da da. Because it don't come off as organic as some other artists who have lived in the moment. And like a Tupac. You could tell Tupac was just flying off the motherfucking cuff. You know what I'm saying? Even though he might have had some ideas of what he wanted to do, but he just couldn't hold it back to say what the fuck he felt. You know what I'm saying? At least that's how he put it out. That's how it felt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With Ye, it looks more like, all right, I'm going to go there. I'm going to put on my villain outfit. I'm going to grab my girl's ass real hard. She's going to wear a fucking bodysuit. You know what I'm saying? Because I control everything she wears. I'm going to walk in there with a bottle of Hennessy.
Mm.
And then, you know what I'm saying?
Think he's spectacle first.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacle. You know, unforgivable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That type shit. But that's just me with Ye. You know what I mean? And I don't speak for everybody. I just see it how I see it.
Right.
You know? And I have been duped. And I have been, you know what I'm saying, on the wrong side of history before. But, you know, I just, you know, him, he, to me, like the way he aligns himself with the Steve Jobs and this person and a Picasso and I'm one of them, the work hasn't shown me that. I hear your words. I hear your association. You know what I'm saying? Your association game is on point. But I ain't seen the work that holds up to those words.
Hmm. That's interesting. I feel like with Kanye, that's the one thing that was his, that's the one thing that'll make a motherfucker be like, hold on, I'm not going to all the way cancel. Like, it's because truly, if Kanye was trash, I'd have been easy. You know what I mean? There's right. Certain rappers that are just like, all right, if this motherfucker say some wild shit, it's easy to ignore this cat.
Right.
Kanye is, to me, one of the more exciting, interesting, forward-thinking artists of this generation. Even when he ain't even on a low note, even when the shit is kind of it's still a bold move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I always kind of, that was always kind of the negotiation over the years. It was like, he gonna say some dumb shit, but then the album's gonna be so phenomenal, it's gonna be so crazy.
What's the last phenomenal Kanye record for you?
I don't know. The last album. I don't know the last album. I'll say one of the last records. Ultralight Beams was hard.
That was. I like Ultralight
Beams. That was hard. And it was just
I don't like Kanye, but I like Ultralight Beams.
Right. And it was, but that's my thing.
Right.
Like, I think that when he could, because I wasn't, Pablo is a good album, but it's not like I go back to Pablo. Mm-hmm. But when I first heard Pablo, the vibe that he took a cat on, I was like, all right, with the Ultralight Beams, that shit was a movement, right? And he's been, arguably, I mean, since Chance, because he kind of, you know, Chance came in his...
The Ultralight Beam.
But in his wake. But Kanye's kind of... I don't know if niggas really give him this stat. And it's a weird nebulous stat. But gospel rap ain't never been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Walks broke that...
Jesus Walks.
That broke that ceiling.
It definitely
did. It's like, oh, shit, we could talk about God and spirituality and all of that.
I fucked with Ye back then.
Right. So, but back to Ultralight Beams, you like, nigga, this is like, we getting back into a gospel feeling. We getting, and then you know, as a producer, you know how to, like, you know what? Like on some Bob James, some Bob, what's my man's name? Bob Ross. My man, the painter, Bob Ross with the fro.
Mm-hmm.
Let me use a little Kelly Price on this canvas.
Right.
Let me get Kelly Price because she know how to evoke the motherfucking spirit.
Right.
And niggas ain't thinking about Kelly Price. Is she going to put, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
okay.
So I'm like, my nigga, like, I got to take my hat off. Similar to how Wayne know how to manipulate words and shit like that. Kanye, when he get his producer hat on, this might sound blasphemous, and I don't want to go that way, but I don't know, blasphemous, that's OD hyperbole, but he was, there's times where he flirt with that Quincy Jones vibe, where he know how to create a landscape. Right. I'm going to bring this person from here, I'm going to bring this person from here.
And I'm going to give, and one thing I will give him on that tip, you know, I can say, I ain't going to front on his work, on the work. The rhetoric.
The rhetoric is terrible.
On the work, Kanye is good for digging in the mud and getting the things, the jewels that people overlook. You know what I'm saying? He was the one who took T-Pain from the mud and said, I fuck with this
good
cat.
Good Life.
You know, even before Good Life, he said it out his mouth. I fuck with this cat.
Okay.
And then put him on Good Life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He co-signed
Nigga T-Pain resurrected Charlie Wells.
To you know what I'm saying? Snoop had been right, you know what I mean, carrying Charlie
Wilson. My bad, Beautiful.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, Charlie Wilson on Beautiful?
Charlie Wilson on that album where Beautiful was at. Snoop was the one that brought Charlie Wilson back.
All right.
Uncle Charlie.
Fair enough. Pharrell, too.
Pharrell in that vein as well. But Snoop had him on his album before Pharrell was on the album. Right, so, you know enough. What I'm saying?
Take that stat away.
Yeah. So to dig up and go get Kelly Price, to go take a motherfucker like 2 Chainz before everybody jumped on him.
Yeah.
He co-signed 2 Chainz and wanted to sign him, I suppose.
Showcase Nicki in a way.
You know what I'm saying?
You look at how he showcased Nicki on Monster.
He definitely can see the dirt that's going to pop. You know what I mean? He was on Drake early, even though he might have had a little inkling of you know what I'm saying?
Insecurity
about him.
Hold on.
But he saw him coming.
Ooh, this nigga.
He saw him coming. He saw him coming. So I'm not going to take all that away from him. You know what I'm saying? But you add the stuff that he does on top of it to keep the attention going, to, you know what I'm saying, to put his voice in the political arena, to, you know, all those types of things. It takes away from it. But the most problem I have with Ye before even the politics is that, you know, people do give Ye that genius credit and hold him up to a certain standard, and he is of a certain tier that people look up to, and that it's okay to acknowledge him. You know what I'm saying? But if you listen, like, sometimes I listen to his words outside of like the Jesus Walks and some of the good shit he be saying. Sometimes he says some shit that's very, you know what I'm saying, unnerving to me. That if a lesser rapper had said, they would be like, ah, this nigga here tripping.
Yeah, give me an example.
I don't have no specific examples, but he'll say some shit that's wild and degrading. And, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times he sounds like he don't really like women that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That if, you know what I'm saying, like a Lil Boosie had said, they would, you know, already cancel that nigga, and Lil Boosie ain't going to never get an Image Award or, you know what I'm saying, or be hosted up as a genius and shit.
He not shiny.
You know what I'm saying? He not shiny. But as a shiny person who gets the accolades and the acclaim.
He's shiny that and people, ain't shit at the same time.
That people look up to and that the kids look up to and say, yeah, Kanye is the genius of our time. He say some ain't shit, boy. They be like, God damn, nigga.
Nigga ain't shit on the
low. You know what I'm saying? And I don't really like that kind of shit, because I come from Miami where you was already discounted. Motherfuckers was already discounting Luke. And Luke was saying his wild-ass shit. He was known for saying his wild-ass shit. But he wasn't going to never get no Image Award. And he wasn't going to never be put it on TV as, you know, here's the man of the motherfucking year. You know what I'm saying? I had the same, before I felt that with Ye, I had the same shit with, what's the radio nigga name, man?
I don't know.
Damn.
Radio.
It's a radio
cat. New York?
Yeah, he was syndicated. He write books too.
Michael Bazin.
Michael Bazin. This was the first time I felt this conflict in my
Men
life.
Men Cry in the Dark.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that motherfucker. I had never heard of him. And I landed in D.C. And he was on the radio. And they was having this talk about AIDS and shit. And it was very positive. You know what I'm saying? I had never heard this kind of shit on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like
that. HIV positive?
Yeah, HIV and AIDS and shit, talking about having that conversation. And I was like, man, this is cool to be on drive time radio in the afternoon talking about this kind of shit. Like, this is dope. You know what I'm saying? And I heard him, and then I went on to whatever I was doing. 2 days later, I flew to Atlanta. I landed in Atlanta and got in the rental car. And it's drive time again. And he on. I'm like, oh, shit, this is the same motherfucker I heard the other day. But 2 days later, the conversation is about menage a trois and shit, right? You know what I'm saying?
Which condom.
No, not even no condom. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's cool. But then it was like the call-ins. And it was this girl called in. And she had a very young voice. I don't know how old she was, but she sounded young as fuck. Mm-hmm. And what she was saying sounded young as
what
fuck.
What she saying?
She was just saying, you know, my boyfriend, he wants to have a threesome, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know what to do. And then Michael Basin was like, well, do you love him? And she was like, yeah. Then you should do it. I'm like, well, damn. First of all, this motherfucker sound about 15. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, ain't just 2 days ago we was just having a positive discourse about
going along
safe
to get along.
Sex and HIV. And
that shit didn't rate well. You know they looked at that book. It was like, listen, fam, we need you to change your ways.
It felt uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? That a grown-ass man, you know what I'm saying, would be. Like, I wouldn't have said that to that voice. You know what I'm saying? Right. As a grown man. Mm. I would have had another take.
What would you have said?
I would have, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what I would have said, but I would have looked at it a lot differently because the motherfucker sounded so young.
You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, what would you say? Talk about it.
I would be like more so of in the vein of, you know, how do you really feel about it? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, what is it in your spirit that you feel about it? Right. If it's uncomfortable for you, then you probably should not do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if he loves you, he should probably understand that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if he really, really, if that's what he really wants to do, then he might, you know what I'm saying, have to come up with a more compelling, right, you know what I'm saying, point of view in order to make you feel comfortable about that.
Okay.
But right now, if you're not comfortable with it, then that's not something you should do, young lady.
So you'd have hated on a threesome.
I would have told it like how I felt it.
Nah, I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Because a threesome ain't shit if the motherfucker uncomfortable. What's a fucking threesome if the main partner ain't with it?
It's a weird
situation.
That's
just some shit you want to do. That's some selfish ass shit. You know what I'm saying? Just in my regard.
So you felt as though Mike wasn't consistent with, like, from day to day. You felt like you were sold the bill of goods on Wednesday, and then on Friday, this shit is totally different.
I wasn't sold the bill of goods. I didn't know. Okay. Because the more I listened to, more I learned about him,
right,
that's more his thing. He's like a player, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm out in the world. Right. I do what I'm doing. I'm polyamorous, and that's cool. But you know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Yeah. Then I met him in real life, and then it really confirmed what I felt. You know what I'm saying?
What it confirmed?
It confirmed that... You know, he living for himself. You know what I'm saying?
He's doing him.
Hey,
what's up, Playboy? I'm out here for me.
And yeah, he out here for him. And that's really what it is. And you know what I'm saying? I don't really like that shit when it comes to you dealing with the public and you living for yourself. Sometimes you got to be outside of yourself when you're dealing with everybody else. You know what I mean? And that's cool to have a point of view and all that shit. But again... The way I heard it and what I heard it on was that point of view with a voice that sounded very young. You know what I'm saying? It really fucked me up.
Impressionable voice.
And then
voice.
At the same time, you know what I'm saying? I see this nigga at the NAACP Image Awards getting, you know what I'm saying?
Getting noticed.
Getting accolades and Man of the Year. Like, this is the guy. You know what I mean?
When Gandhi turned out to be Yandi.
He's like, when Gandhi turned out to be Long Dick Yandi. I'm digging him down.
Goodness.
You know? And I don't care nothing about... Motherfucker, however you get down, but on living that space, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
I don't like it when you motherfuckers be like Cosby. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Even before I even knew about the pill Cosby
how he was on some bullshit.
Like how he is revered and held up to this standard, but then he'll get on the mic and say some wild ass shit about black people and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I always gave him old guy, I always excused him as an old guy. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like he was of the generation of the old pull your pants up generation. So I kind of excused the hate as elder hate.
Yeah, but his elder hate went a little above.
It was
beyond.
A little much because his he had a huge platform.
Because he name checked me in one of his rants, not me per se.
I was gonna say, wait a minute,
like,
wait,
you're naming your kid Shaniqua Muhammad and da 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 da. What is that? Like, what?
It gets deep.
What the fuck is you talking about? Who the fuck
know.
Is you?
I didn't know he was like that.
I was name checked in the rant.
Oh man,
per se.
Damn.
So, you know what I'm saying? I just look at it like, okay, you get to this level and then you're so removed and that you cannot even see how to relate to the person that's in there every day.
Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. That's an interesting question. As we get older, right? Because at some point, niggas going to be older, even further older. You're going to be old, super. How do you try not to be disconnected? Say, for instance, how Cosby became, you know, like I gave him the, you know, before he was Rapist Cosby, right? He was Disconnected Cosby, right? So it was kind of like I gave him the, not the nod, but I kind of, I wasn't surprised because he's an old head. And it's almost as though that's the destiny of the old motherfuckers. At some point, you become disconnected. And that's only because if you just yield to that, if you do nothing. But my point is, my question to you is, what do you do to stay in tune to what's going on in the true zeitgeist? How do you not become old and washed or old and set in your ways?
See, the thing about it, the first thing is if you pay attention to humans just on a day-to-day, you know what I'm saying, it's hard to separate from if you pay attention. If you're paying attention, you understand that it's some people that feel like this. And then there's a certain group of people over here who feel like this. And these people right here, they like this. And you know what I mean? Right. If you just living life regular and paying attention, just normal paying attention, you understand that exists. You understand if you just talk to normal people, you understand that, okay, you know, there are women who feel like this, and there are young guys who wear their clothes like this because of this, that, and the third, and you could get to the, I'm a culturist, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know how to get to the bottom of, okay, why Philly cats do that, or why Atlanta motherfuckers do that, you know what I'm saying? And it's usually a long line of shit that add up to that, and but that's just who I am. But then that's who my father was. You know what I'm saying? My father, you know what I'm saying? He understood how to connect. And when you got a Haitian neighbor and you got, you know what I'm saying, a Cuban place where you go to get certain shit, you know how to act when you go to different places. You know what I mean? So you going to the Cuban spot, you know, my pops will be like, hola, como esta? I didn't even know that motherfucker knew some motherfucking Spanish and shit. Right. He going there, hola, como esta? He don't know no other words but that.
Right.
But they appreciate
it's
that
enough.
Shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They appreciate enough. That shit to give him a good deal.
You made the effort.
Oh, Muhammad.
Give him 15%.
You know what I mean? You know, you go into the, you know what I'm saying? You got a little Haitian, you got your Haitian terminology that you know.
Let me ask you this. You in the Cuban spot, chilling, hola, como esta, enjoying your motherfucking Cuban, whatever they call it, Cubano, what's the little...
Cafe.
No, what's the little flatbread where they press the sandwich? Cuban joint, the Cuban.
Yeah, the Cuban.
It's a Cuban, I think
but
it's a Cuban.
That's a lot of pork, so we ain't fuck with that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you have a little guayaba pastry
and
shit.
Right, guayaba pastry, all right, share enough. And the Cuban cat going in on Haitians. How do you handle that?
Well, then, one, that's not some shit that I've encountered because the Cuban motherfucker not going to really do that in front of a black motherfucker. They might do it amongst each other. I don't know. It ain't never happened in front of me. How do you handle that, though, is, you know what I'm saying, that might be a motherfucking Cuban that you don't want to fuck with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you don't say, hey, listen, you don't like, try
you
to
probably
enlighten
could.
This
You
Cuban?
Probably could, but that just ain't never happened to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It has happened to me and with a Dominican.
Okay. What happened?
Where your mother Dominican be shitting on Haitian and she be like, yo, come on, y'all motherfuckers is fucking neighbors. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
Your ass black as shit.
Right. That's you know what you
saying?
Said.
Yeah, like you black, you hey, what color is you?
I know black.
You know what I'm saying?
I know black.
And then my stepmother's Dominican and she break that whole shit down of how, you know.
It's crazy.
Like even her sister is darker than her, but don't consider herself black. Which means she about your color.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She don't consider herself black.
Well,
she's
black
like,
and
she is,
about my
she,
color.
She black as fuck.
She over here with us.
You know what I'm saying?
At the end of the emoji spectrum.
But when you get to that, you know, you could understand why they feel like that too. That's a whole nother thing. That don't mean you got to agree with the shit, but you can understand where they coming from.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you live in a situation under that Spanish colonial rule, you know what I'm saying? Well, them Spanish motherfuckers was trying to eradicate anything black because they was...
Right.
They had been...
No, I understand where it comes from. But my point is, in that moment, it becomes that teachable moment where you like, you kind of the liaison by default. Like, you got your Haitian fam.
Yeah.
You got your Cuban fam. And then the Cubans is hating on the Haitians. And it becomes that moment where you kind of got to challenge your Cuban fam to be like, yo.
Yeah. But that don't
mean. What's the deal? Why are you hating on these people? What's the problem? These people are people just like you.
Again. But that motherfucker right there is probably a motherfucker that you're not fucking with no more. Not in that manner.
So you canceling them?
You can't. You might cancel their ass.
But
you
my can't, point
you,
is,
you ain't gonna. Oh, well, you ain't gonna.
You can't always save. You ain't sometimes gonna you
save.
Gotta...
You ain't gonna save a motherfucker from history. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When sometimes you gotta let niggas go, and sometimes you gotta let niggas know.
When do you press the cancel button? How soon?
It's case by case. You know
case
what I'm saying?
Case by case.
A cancel is a case by case scenario. How much you invested? Yeah. How much you need? How much, you know what I'm saying? How much you know? How much you got to be around?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
One motherfucker ain't finna change all this shit.
Yeah.
But piece by piece, you know what I'm saying, you can let them know. And everybody got their own point of view and their feelings on it. Mm. So I might counsel a motherfucker. I might straighten a motherfucker out. He go next to the next black motherfucker, and they be like, yep, shit, I don't fuck with Haitians either. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Now it's two against one.
He re-stamped your shit like, you're back in.
You know what I mean? So,
So
it's a slippery slope
right
when you walking down that lane. You know, I'm only speaking as Ali Muhammad about Ali Muhammad shit.
That's all you can do.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it gets real tricky with me when people automatically give someone the credit, you know what I'm saying, that holds them up higher than other people, say in a Cosby or in a Ye or in anybody of power that you give a certain regard to, and they be out doing the same ass shit as Boosie Badass or, you know what I'm saying, Daz or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Young Buck or any old random motherfucker.
Like, listen.
You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker ain't no but that nigga.
Same,
so, you know what I'm saying? So let's not hold him up that high.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Let's bring him down a little few notches. You know what I'm saying? Respect this genius, but he about the same as, you know what I'm saying, in his actions as, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the other cats that y'all push down.
Yeah. I can dig it.
Boosie Badass might even be saying some more uplifting shit for regular motherfuckers than, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Boosie, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of, this is not a transition. But I showed it to you, so I guess you saw it, but you ain't probably seen it as you should have seen it. I'm going to ask Matt. Matt, did you see Lindsay Lohan get duffed out for trying to take the Syrian family's children?
Nope, I don't have a mic on me right now.
Oh, man, Matt has no mic, but he didn't see it. Lindsay Lohan got duffed out for being a little too nosy and trying to, she was line-stepping. From what I saw, Lindsay Lohan, I guess she's out in Syria or somewhere out in the middle, somewhere. Not New York, not Long Island. She's out there with a new accent, a little. She's using
a faux Islamic accent.
Yeah, faux Islamic. She's inshallah out there. I think she claims Muslim now. I don't know if you heard that, but she's been claiming Muslim since the ban. So she's out there, Lindsay Lohan.
What band?
From when the Muslim ban was going on, was like, yo, I'm Muslim.
I'm
going
to be Muslim?
Yeah. Muslim. Which I'm not mad at. She trying to, I don't know.
You going
to
go be white.
Right. Maybe I'm not all the way inclusive. I guess, you know, you Muslim, so you can speak to the Muslim thing. Muslim, pardon me.
No,
you Muslim, so you
Muslim.
Can speak. I don't, listen, man, my bad, pardon me. Part of, I ain't no Muslim. You Muslim. So anyway, she's out there, out here trying to be Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And she sees a family, and I guess they're in Syria, and there's a family. It's a mother, two kids, and the father. And she's speaking to the kids, and I guess they out in the streets, living on the streets, and they're looking cold out there, or whatever, the streets is cold. So Lindsay's like, yo, it's a little too cold out here for these children. First of all,
listen, if you about to bring heat into the equation, why don't we heat everybody? Why don't we heat mother, father, daughter, son, everybody? Let's not just do it for the children. But she was like, it's a little too cold out here for these children because they're still developing. Mm-hmm. So I want to take the children with me and, you know, bring them to wherever I'm at, my hotel suite, so they can get a bit of this warm, you know what I mean? This warm inside.
She's just better than everybody.
She's just better. She just, whatever she doing it, is the right thing to
come
do.
Come on over here to this warm heat, and I'm going to shoot this Heron while y'all in shit.
I'm going to tell you, this Heron, boy, this shit is like a Long John.
Y'all
shit,
want some?
Get you warm. So anyway, she's like, she pressing them, and they're like, nah. You know, they kind of, being, you know, again, I don't know what they speaking on the languages, but they kind of trying to be patient with her. They trying to be, you know, like, all right, fed up, no doubt. I'm good. You take it easy. You know, one of those, take it easy. We try.
All right, now.
All right. You stay cool, baby. All right. Be
what
safe.
What you about to do?
You know what I mean? All of that. All right. So, yeah, when your Uber coming, all of that. Let's get you out of here. She pressing the issue, like, yo, I don't think y'all don't look safe. So they start stepping off. They say, let me just get the fuck out of here. So they start moving. They start moving off. And she's like, wait a minute. I think you're trafficking these children, whatever, whatever.
She done made a whoa.
She turned this shit into a fucking, she's a crusader. She's a freedom fighter. She goes to try to maybe grab one of the kids or whatever. All of a sudden, she gets duffed out. Bing, bing. I think it was the moms. Bing, bing.
Of course it was the moms.
Somebody caught her with at least a one piece. It felt like a two piece because it left her immobilized for a second. She had to come back to her senses. And the funny part about it, because she's doing this Instagram
the little
live.
Little senses she had left.
Little senses. She's doing this Instagram live.
She on her own live.
And you see the kids as they get dumped out, they look at her like, I know how it feels. Like
you should have known this was coming.
I tried to warn you
with my eyes.
But she got duffed out for doing too much, a little too nosy, a little too, you know.
A little too motherfucking.
Freelance superhero.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Privilege.
And it is what it is, man. It more so was funny to me. This is some shit I brought up.
This what you found on your newfound back to hot Instagram?
Yeah, no, I saw this shit. This shit was in the world. Oh, I forget where I heard it first.
Are you back on the Instagram?
I'm in the gram. Okay, I'm out there, but I'm out there. I'm like, I'm out there, but like. It is what it is. I look at it differently now. I look at it with a side eye.
What's the difference?
I'm not all the way in. It's like a nigga that was in a cult and then was out the cult and it was like, but you know what? I do like the Kool-Aid. So I'm just for the Kool-Aid. Like, I don't even, the teachings, I'm already looking at the teachings sideways. Like, that nigga ain't really, he just a regular motherfucker. He live in a fucking studio apartment in Astoria. He ain't really the leader. He just know where to get the good Kool-Aid at. And right. I like this Kool-Aid, so I'm here for the sip. But all that shit he talking, I'm looking at it like,
So what are you saying? How do you see it differently than you did before your
hiatus? I'm not like a slave to the scroll.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what kind of got me up out of there for a bit. I was like, God damn, I was scrolling all the time. Like, I'm taking a shit and scrolling. I'm in everywhere. I'm scrolling. And I had to be like, I'm all right. You know, I might, I'm not going to say I'm above the scroll, but I took a little while. So I just went, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it was like, nigga, the memes was becoming my New York Times. I'm like, yo, did you hear about this? And this is shit that I didn't research. So that's where I'm at.
It was a viral video about, you know what I'm saying? He's like, my girl is addicted to twerking.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? She just be twerking everywhere.
Right.
That's just put me in the mind frame of that shit.
Because you can get caught up in that gram. It's great. You know what I mean? Shout out to the gram. I like the gram. But, you know, it was good to take a break from it. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to see what every fucking body doing. Especially when I'm not really keeping in touch with everybody. I'm just voyeuristic. You know what I mean? I ain't fucking wait. How was your birthday, man? Talk to the people, man.
Man, my birthday was awesome, man.
It looked good on the gram.
I ain't really do much on the gram. It's just my, me and my fam. You know what I'm saying? I announced it. I usually don't do that. That's what's a little different. I usually don't even say nothing about my birthday and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm, like we all know that I'm not the biggest celebrator.
Right.
I discovered, you know what I'm saying, a new wave in this birthday.
Okay.
So, birthday was Friday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My wife sent me to the spa. I got, you know what I'm saying, a little body massage, facial and shit.
Yeah.
Mani pedi. Wow, all that old good shit.
The fixes.
They looked at my feet like, good God.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Brought out the tools. She was like, you're going to need some shit that costs $10 more.
You got to really, really go all in.
Yeah, she was working on them dogs. That was cool. The massage was cool. I hadn't had
it. Did it make you want to take care of your feet
in the future? Yeah, for sure.
He was like, I need to respect these feet.
For sure. I got to respect my whole scenario.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? After all that, like, you know what I'm saying? Even the massage, you know what I mean? I never really respected the massage.
Okay.
Back in the day, you get a massage just to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Stunt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just really the experience of getting it. Not even, you know what I'm saying?
I'm out here getting masseused.
You know what I'm saying? You don't really even feel how it feel afterwards and shit. But, like, at this particular point in my life, I felt all that shit afterwards. Like, damn.
Because you probably had real tension.
You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I need to do this more often shit, you know what I'm saying?
What was good about it? What made you say, I got to come back for this? So I'm still weird on the massage. I am too.
I was. Before I went in this one, I was a little weird. That's why I don't really do them very often. Shit, it probably had been 10 years since I did a massage. So, which means
time.
I don't do that shit at all.
It's not often at all. 10 years is not often.
You know what I'm saying? But this particular time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the particular masseuse or whatever, but she just worked out the kinks, you know what I'm saying?
She knew what she's doing.
Like, you know what I mean? Before, it just felt like motherfucker rubbed on you for a few.
Yeah.
And you got up out of there. You know what I mean?
Did y'all talk before? Did you tell her where to go?
Nah.
She just felt
She asked me. I was like, nah, do your thing, man. Uh-huh. Just do what
Take
you do.
Liberty.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know nothing about this shit. Mm-hmm. Do what you do, you know? It's just, you know, the weirdest part about a massage, motherfucker, but okay, get undressed.
Yeah.
And lay face down over there. He'd be like, yeah, damn, all right, this is a little fort.
Yeah. Hit you with that aggression and a breathy tone.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
take your clothes off.
All right, shit. Get undressed, I suppose. But you know what I'm saying? That was cool, man. I got all that shit done.
She was cute?
Nah.
Oh, that's good.
No, regular. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But you know, she was proficient at her motherfucker job, which I appreciate.
Okay.
So all that, you know, the cute shit don't even. Now that I, you know what I'm saying, really understand this shit now, that I feel, you know what I'm saying, what it's supposed to be. All that cute shit is out the window. Back in the day, you be like, I need a cute masseuse. You know what I mean? But she was regular.
I need somebody
to do what the fuck they do.
Right.
That's good at they fucking job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That ain't no dude.
Right.
So, because I was that nigga that went to the masseuse. Last time I went to the masseuse.
You had a dude.
I did not have a dude. They had a dude for
right,
me.
Right.
And motherfucker was like, yeah. Get undressed and lay face down.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, bro. I went back to the front desk. Like, hey, I'm in the robe. You know what I'm saying? Butt naked in the robe and shit.
Oh, shit.
Like, hey, man, what the fuck is going on?
From massage to molestation.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, what is this?
I don't feel comfortable.
You know what I mean? Oh, like, hey, my wife requested a woman. Oh, there are no women available. Da, 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 da. Like, hey, I can't do this.
It's your man Gerald.
I can't ahead, do it. Man. And I know athletes, they do it all the time.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But I couldn't. I ain't in that stage of life.
Nah. You're not a game seven.
No, I'm not game seven. Need a real massage and shit, man, from a man with strong hands. So did that. Got the massage. Got the facial and shit. Mani pedi.
Wow.
Then I went out in the world, and this is what I discovered that I'm gonna do. I had like a bunch of little micro celebrations.
Okay.
You know, so you know how you do it.
What's
big,
a micro celebration?
Like, you know, again, I went to a lunch spot and shit, and then ran to a couple of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They my peoples, but they ain't know it's my birthday.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, 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 it's my birthday. Boom, we had drinks. You know what I'm saying? Toasted it up. Okay. Ah, your birthday. Ha!
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Did that for about an hour. Went to the next spot. You know what I'm saying? Did it again. Then hooked up with my daughter. And then my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, wanted to take me to buy. She said she had $30.
Wow.
That she wanted to buy me a gift with.
Mm-hmm.
Day before she took her money back. She was like, you know, because I wasn't listening to her for whatever.
She took it back.
She was like, well, then I'll just take my money back.
Hilarious.
But you know what I'm saying? She came back around.
She know her worth.
I'll pull out of this whole shit. My 10-year-old daughter is a 70-year-old lady. She came here as a grandma.
Hilarious.
For real.
Listen.
For real.
I take this $30 and walk.
You know what I'm saying? So she took me, she's like, pick whatever store you want to go to, we got $30.
I like that shit. I like that, that's real talk. This is your budget, figure it out. Nigga, this where you at.
So I bought a couple of Scullies off the street. We went downtown Brooklyn, we went to the spot, I didn't see nothing in there.
So I
bought a couple of Scullies on the block. That was $10 and shit.
And she peeled off for
no, but she it was in my wife. She had it in the account. My wife transferred it.
Okay.
So then, you know what I'm saying? We had $20 left. And she was like, well, out of what we have left, can we go get something to eat?
Who said that?
My daughter. So I got some pizza and shit. And then we went to the movies to see my niece in night school.
How was night school?
Night school was cool.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Number one. Shout out to
it was definitely number one. Definitely, that's Will Packer's 10th number one movie.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, shout out to Will Packer. Yeah, shout out to Kevin Hart.
You know what I'm saying?
Tiffany Haddish.
Shout out to him.
Fat Joe.
You know what I mean? I was thinking back. I was part of the first number one movie with Stunt the Yard.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
What was that? What year was that? 05?
That was 07.
Damn, look at that.
07 was Stunt the Yard. That was the first number one.
That was dope.
And so I worked on that one. So, you know.
10 and 11 years.
No doubt. So,
we went and saw that.
That was, you know, we called the night after that. Everybody was tired. Mm. And then we went to dinner on Sunday. Saturday, you know what I'm saying, met up to pick up some equipment from one of my guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, while we was doing that, ran into a couple of people and had another micro celebration. You know what I'm saying, a couple of drinks.
I like this. You micro-dosing these birthdays.
That shit was dope. Then today, you and Bev went and had a situation.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is a formula.
Keep it nice and.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Nice
doses.
Like, little doses here and there that ain't overbearing on everybody where they got to make a certain place at a certain time. Mm. It's kind of dope.
Yeah.
It's kind of dope to experience it in these little small spaces at a time.
Interesting.
Because I ain't the real big, you know what I'm saying, throw a big party type of person.
Why not?
Because I honestly, my last, as a kid, I only had one birthday party.
Yeah.
I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, birthdays came up. It was like, oh, shit, well, you know, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks. You know, shit.
Okay.
You got to get, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't really a lot of celebrating going on around my way.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of getting by surviving. You know what
I'm saying? Rugged in the jungle. Good time. We lucky we got him. Nigga, you just lucky to get older. Older ass nigga.
So you know what I'm saying? As the that kind of stuck with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't really, you know, your birthday come about, you know what I'm saying? You don't make too much of it, you know what I'm saying? You get through it, get by it. But as a grown motherfucker with kids, you know, you gotta get about it, you gotta take that out of it. And for the kids, you do it. But then for yourself, you got to remember.
I am worthy.
To take. Not even you worthy. Because I feel worthy every motherfucking day.
Ooh.
About what I'm getting and what I'm
every
doing.
Every motherfucking day.
But as far as like a little celebration and
right.
shit. It's like you had to get up. You got to get beyond who you are and who you were and all the shit that makes you up. And get to who you want to be and how you want to be.
Right.
Because, again, a lot of this shit is just, is crafted, is orchestrated, is you got to put this shit together like how I'm saying Kanye put together his little moves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And And for most people who looking at his moves, you're looking at like, oh shit, damn, that's Ye doing this motherfucking thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's the same way people gonna look at you. You orchestrate your little situation. People are like, oh shit, look at him, he doing his thing. But you have to remember to do that shit.
Yeah.
Cause it ain't real life a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? You have to make it real.
You gotta make it real. You it ain't real until you make it real.
You ain't real until you sit
it's
there,
the idea.
Put it down, make it happen, bring people there, and make it real.
When leave your head. You know what I'm saying?
Then it's real.
Yeah.
It ain't real until you make it real.
I can dig that shit.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you skip through it just to get to the shit you think is real. The work and the get to the money and pay and get to the paying the bills and that.
And that's only as real as you made it.
You know what I'm saying? You make it real for your kids. You make it real for other motherfuckers. You make it real for the people you working with. You make it real for the projects you working on. And then yourself, you just be like, nah, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to make it real for your
You got to make it real for you. Because then it's not if it's not real for you, then it ain't going to be real for nobody else. And that's how people going to treat you. So if you learn how to treat yourself, you know what I'm saying, you teach people how to treat you. That's some shit that you learn over time. Well, at least me. I learned over time. Like, that's some shit I ain't think about until later, till like now.
Right. I hear that.
So the little micro celebrations is the bridge.
Okay.
That's taking me probably to a bigger celebration. But I like that I was
incremental
because it feel like ha 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 ha.
Right. Okay.
Like
all of it is your little. It's like your little whatever you call them. Little. It's like pockets of fan bases.
Yeah, like little pockets, and then like Carla Carl.
Yeah.
You know, Carla Carl on your birthday is it's always the celebration. That shit's that shit is the only party you really need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, she called this year and she, you know, she Carla would do, y'all heard her on one of the episodes, Carla Radford episode. She would, when we were at Vibe, she would do these, on your birthday, she would jump on top of her desk and sing a big ass happy birthday song. You know what I'm saying? And it's like the biggest shit, the loudest, unprofessional shit you ever heard of. But she'll stand on the desk and sing this loud ass song, but it just makes you feel like, damn, you know what I'm saying? That I was celebrated. So now that we're not in the office together, she would call you and do that type shit. Because she know that's, you know what I'm saying? You just know. You see her number pop up, you know it's coming. And then for me, this year, even though I knew it was coming, it's like one of those babies, like if you see a little toddler that's like 2 years old, you hyping them up, like, yeah, baby, come on, baby. And they be doing their little steps and just like, shaking their pamper and shit. That's how I felt when when she called this year. And that was like a celebration in itself. And you know what I'm saying? For most years, that would be like the biggest part of the celebration there would be.
Yeah, I know. I feel you. She sing it. She sing it. She make it. It's a moment.
No
it's
doubt. A moment.
Shout out to Carla Radford.
No doubt, man.
Oh, shit, man.
So that's what it was for this birthday.
Dope. That's dope, man. Full disclosure before we get out of here. Shout out to my pork eaters. I made some bacon and eggs this morning. And I fried 3 pieces of bacon. Them shits was nice pieces of bacon. And it was like well fried. And I put them shits on the plate and shit, and I'm plating my eggs. And as I'm about to plate my eggs, my fucking bacon falls on the floor. All 3 pieces of
shits. All 3 pieces.
All 3 pieces of shits. Shit
you in the crib? You in the crib?
I'm in the crib. I said, fuck it. I picked all 3 of them shits up, and I ate all the shits.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
But then I Googled, and they was like, nigga, you shouldn't do no shit like that because it's wild bacteria on the floor, whatever, whatever. My thing is, I'm a fan of the 7-second rule, 5-second rule, whatever rule. I felt like I was in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I cleaned my crib enough. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, man.
But
I watched one of them shows where they go through and improve all those kind of theories.
Oh, like shit. they Mythbusters type
some shit like that.
Yeah.
And they did tests on different parts of the house and bacteria and shit in different places where food comes from.
Yeah.
And the place that they found that had just as much bacteria as the inside of your toilet was the ice machine at most restaurants.
Ain't that a bitch? Look at that shit. So
because they said that a lot of times the inside of the ice machine never gets cleaned.
It just sits there.
It just sits there. You know what I'm saying? They just keep running it, and then they never clean the inside of shit.
At most restaurants, so everybody's fucking with it.
Yeah. Do you? Every time I go to a restaurant, I always be like, water, no ice.
Wow. I just had some ice in my water today. I wish you had told me this shit a couple hours ago. I was just in the hotel. Do you ever use the ice machine at the hotel? I barely ever do that shit.
I don't fuck with any
of that type of shit. The hotel is, I feel like niggas jerk off on everything.
Exactly. Nigga be using the corner of the rag.
All of that shit. It's crazy. Anyway, man. Speaking of hotels and the road and all of that, tell the people where you going to be, man.
Hey, man, I'm going to be in Tallahassee, Florida for the illustrious FAMU homecoming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's big. I'm looking forward to seeing all of the people.
Mm-hmm.
25th anniversary of Chocolate City with Real Packer and Rob Hardy celebrating at the President's House. That's some real shit. That's some my era shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Be down there shooting some content as well. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I'm going to just try to enjoy the moment of being in a place in a time that only exists at that place. Mm. And at that time.
In that moment. Right.
See all the old faces and shit that I ain't seen and fuck with. Yeah, you know I mean, you know, get in, get out, and I'm going to go see my pops a few miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming back and getting the conversation. Until then, you catch me at Mr. Muhammad on Instagram and on Twitter. And, tell a friend.
That's what it is. Where am I going to be this weekend? I'm going to be at in Brooklyn at Eastville Comedy Club on Friday and Saturday. I'll also be at Stand Up New York on a Good Friday, so check me there. Where else am I going to be, man? I'm going to be on Comedy Knockout tonight. You listen to it right now, 11 p.m. True TV. Check that out. And then, until then, I'm going to be back up in here on a good Wednesday. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation.
Uh-huh.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.